I'm going to need Tristan to come up here for a minute. Come here, buddy. Need some help. Right up here. All right. I need you to help me out. Are you ready? Okay, you see that? Can you tell everyone what that is? What's the answer to that? What's the answer?
Four.
Huh?
Four.
Yeah, four. Good job. All right. I got another one for you. Are you ready? What's the answer to that one?
Four.
That's right. That one's four as well, isn't it? You did good, buddy. You did good job. Thank you. Now, what do you think? I told him. What? Really? Come on now, tell the truth. You are telling the truth. That is true. How old is Tristan? How old is Tristan? He's 3 years old, right? 3 years old. What's the chance of a three-year-old doing addition and multiplication, right? It's pretty impossible, isn't it? Pretty impossible. But you know what? With help, he can do it. He can tell you the right answer, right? And the disciples, as they gathered in that upper room, they looked at the task Jesus had given them. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth? Wait a minute. Come on now. That's impossible. But they had help, didn't they? Someone was telling them the answer, huh? That's how it happened, huh? And what about God's end time people? Here we are, 16 million. And we got to tell almost 7 billion. That's 7,000 millions. That's impossible. Unless somebody tells us the answer, huh? That's how it's got to happen. We've got to have God there whispering in our ear, huh? God's got to be whispering in our ear to tell us the answer, because God has made a promise. We read it this morning in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, turn with me there. John chapter 16, God made a promise. Can God fail at His promises? That's impossible, isn't it? That is impossible. Turn with me to John chapter 16. And I want to call your attention to verse 7. Are you with me? Open your Bibles. There's some there in the pew in front of you if you didn't bring one. John 16. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus is speaking. And He says, I tell you the truth. It's kind of redundant, isn't it? Jesus is speaking and He tells you, I'm telling the truth. He's going to be telling the truth. It is, but you see, the problem is we might not believe Him. We might not believe Him. It is to your advantage that I go away. How can that be? Jesus is here present with us, and He says, it'll be for you that I go away. That would seem very odd to the disciples. For if I do not go away, He said, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. I want to look for a moment at the second person pronoun. The second person pronoun there. Which word in that verse was the second person pronoun? You, that's right. See, with help, we can get these things, right? That's how it happens. That's what the promise is all about. That we're not out here doing this on our own. This is not about us. This is not our work. In fact, it is God's work. That's right. And so the second person pronoun there is you that Jesus used. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, I'm no linguist, okay? But I know a little Greek, and I know a little bit about some other languages like Spanish. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. The second person, like you, can mean just one person, right? And the second, see, now I need help. The second person for one individual is what? Two, okay? All right, two. But now if I'm speaking to everyone, so the second person plural is. You know, I'm not even going to try it because it says made, right under there, it says made in USA. So I know I'd mess it up. But it's way different than the first one, right? Singular and plural is different, isn't it? Not so in English, right? Not so in English. Singular and plural, it's just the same. Jesus, in the Greek, it's different as well, see? In the Greek, he was talking plural. That promise was not to any one disciple. That promise was not for an individual. That promise was for God's people. That promise was for you, the church, God's people. Jesus said that he would send his helper to you, meaning the whole church. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you, all of us. This is for us. We can claim this promise for the whole church. You see, back in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit was given, it was to this guy here or that guy there. As we look back at the judges and the prophets, it was to individuals that the Spirit was poured out. Not so here in the New Testament. Jesus makes this promise to everyone. And if we look at Acts chapter 1 and go back again to that story in the upper room there, we find that it was not just for the few, not just for the one or two. Take a look, Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, and it names all 11 that were left of the disciples. And then in verse 14 it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there were a whole pile of people up there. A whole pile of people. In fact, it tells us 120 were in that upper room on that day, and the promise went out to all of them. You see, when they went out in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just one disciple, it wasn't just Peter, it wasn't just John, it was that whole group, the whole church went out. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. It comes to all of us. To all of us who are a disciple. But it comes with conditions, doesn't it? It comes with conditions. It comes as revival happens. It was so for the disciples. Peter needed that experience after Jesus' look. You remember when Peter denied him and Jesus looked at him and it says Peter wept, right? Peter needed that breaking of his heart. Peter needed that revival experience. And all of the disciples, as they came into that upper room, needed that experience of being together, of being united, of being of one accord in one place, praying together. They needed that experience of confession, of forsaking of sin, of repentance. Each one of them needed it. There's a message to God's last day people like that too. A message for us to repent, isn't there? And it's not saying that we're not God's people. It's one of the seven churches, is it not? It's not that we're far, far away from God, but God has a message for us. In fact, the word in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, you remember the word rebuke? Do you remember that word? That's not a pleasant word, is it? Especially coming out of the mouth of Jesus, especially coming to us, as it were. And so that isn't a very pleasant word, but we've already looked at that word once this morning in Greek. You see, that's the same word that's in John chapter 16, verse 8. Take a look with me. And when he has come, when the Spirit has come, he will... What's the next word? Some of you have different translations, I understand. Convict, or... I heard the other one over here that I hear most frequently. Convince, maybe. Some of you have convinced there. Convince, convict, that's the word. You see, before we go to the world to try to tell them the message of Jesus, brothers and sisters, that message has to come into us and break our hearts. It needs to make a difference in our lives. We cannot be business as usual. It cannot be about the same things the world is about if we expect to take that message of conviction by the Holy Spirit to the world. Can't happen. That message has to be taken into our hearts first. We need that revival in our lives. You see, this comes with conditions. Oil of Olay. Go down to, where is it? I guess pretty much anywhere. You go down to Kohl's or someplace, I guess. You get some oil of Olay. You come back home. You get on your computer. And you can get one of these. A $20 rebate. A $20 rebate. And notice how big they make the word Olay. And then how big they make the words $20 rebate. What you can't see from there is how tiny the words are right here. You know what they are, right? All the terms and conditions, right? Offer valid from this to that. Must be postmarked by this. Offer limited to U.S. residents only. 18 years of it. You know, it just goes on and on and on, right? To receive your rebate by mail, you have to buy this. You have to mail in the completed certificate, the original dated receipt with items and purchase prices circled. Write in UPC codes in spaces provided on the order form. In a stamped envelope, mail it off, and then never forget. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Some days I go, is $20 worth it? What about God's conditions? Are they hidden in the fine print? Does God not want you to know so that he can trip you up? No, God wants to save us more than we want to be saved. God has given us these conditions so that we'll be ready, be ready, be ready. He wants us there. He wants us to join in that wedding celebration. He wants the world to be ready. He wants Lakeland to be ready. God has this for us. And this promise will come to Lakeland. Take a look. Acts chapter 1 again. Acts chapter 1. Are you with me? It's beautiful words. Beautiful words Jesus has here for us. The disciples were there with Jesus just before the ascension. And they said, hey, is this going to be it? You know? But in verse 4, Jesus is talking about the promise. And which, he said, in verse 4, you have heard from me. When did they hear about that? Back in John 16, right? Back in John 16, while he was still with them, he told them this promise and said, I'm going away. And they were like, no way. And when he was crucified, they could hardly believe it. Now they were catching the picture. And he said, this is the promise I was talking about. And verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. Why did Jesus go all the way back to talk about John baptizing with water? Why did he go? That was all the way back at the beginning of his ministry. Why was he going back to that? Why not just remind them of John 16, right? Makes sense to me. Do you remember what John said about Jesus? Do you remember what John said about Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, where he says, I indeed baptize with water, but there comes one after me that baptizes with fire, right? That baptizes with fire. Jesus was going back to this saying, this is it. This is what I'm talking about. This is the time. I'm the one. And this is what's going to happen. Just what John told you. It's going to happen. I'm going to baptize you with fire. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus was giving them this promise, renewing the promise that they'd heard from John, that they'd heard from Jesus himself, but all that was before the crucifixion that shook their faith. Now Jesus is going back, reminding them again. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to go back to our roots and be reminded of who we are. We are Seventh-day Adventists. We are the people with the three angels' message. We have a mission to this world. Let's not forget it. Let's not be remembering more about movies and sports and junk than we do of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the important thing. That's who we really are. And sometimes we need to go back and remember all the way back sometimes to the beginning of when we came into this faith and what we believe as God's people. And so Jesus took them back to John the Baptist. Jesus took them back. And sometimes we need to go there too. But it's to bring us to now, when the fire is about to fall, when God wants to do miraculous things so that we're on board with Him in His work. You see, Jesus right here in these verses is whispering in the ears of the disciples, telling them the answers ahead of time. And so in verse 8, Ooh, this is exciting. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Think about that for a minute. Think about what Jesus was saying to the disciples here with this dual promise. A promise of the Holy Spirit coming in power, that fire would be upon them. Jesus made a promise that you and I, huh? Who? Me? Huh? Huh? Me? I'm nothing special. Yeah. Tristan didn't know all the answers either. That's okay. When we whisper in there, when the Holy Spirit whispers in our ear, we know what to say. It's awesome what God has planned for us. We shall receive power. Are we ready for that power? Whoo! It's kind of scary. You know, coming up in front of all those people and we're just little kids. We're only 3 years old. It's kind of scary. But remember, we're coming up to Papa who loves us. Right? And he's going to tell us the answers. It'll all be good. Ye shall receive power, Jesus said. And then further, he told us what the power would do. The power would make us witnesses to whom? To the latest person to walk down the red carpet in Hollywood? Come on. Who cares? It's about Jesus, witnessing to him, giving the message of our Savior who's coming back to take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what God has planned for us. You see, you shall be witnesses to me in Lakeland. That's what Jesus said. Last night, we had a good reason to be cloned. I would have loved to have been cloned last night if I could be in two places at once and all that. You know? It was good to be here. It was cool to watch the video. Oh, I like that. I want to see what they're talking about. I hope, you know, that people are coming, they're being blessed, that kind of thing, right? But something else was going on last night. Something else here in Lakeland. Somebody had gotten a bright idea. They decided, hey, why don't we go down to the park and hand out Bibles? And that person was Matthew, young Matthew. And so there he is, showing, I'm sorry to say, signs of his difficulties. But he was there. And he was handing out Bibles and he was talking to people about our Lord. It didn't matter that he had a brain tumor. It didn't matter that he was not as able-bodied as I am. It didn't matter anything about that. He was there witnessing by the power of the Holy Spirit to Lakeland. And people were coming up and people were talking to him. People were hearing his story. People were seeing what he was out there doing. People were taking Bibles. People were taking steps to Christ. We were praying with people. I was praying with a lady who had found out just recently that she had Hodgkin's. Try that on for size. And there she was in the park looking for something and bumped into people who wanted to tell her about Jesus. How could you better spend a Friday night, huh? Man, I wanted to be in two places at one time. You see, the Holy Spirit is working in all that we do. We're doing our creation versus evolution right now. By the way, you know, we were the first church mentioned when they started naming off the places that were doing it. Were some of you at home and saw it, or some of you here remember? We were the very first church that they talked about that was hosting the creation versus evolution right here in Lakeland, Florida. And so God is moving. This summer, we're going to be reaching out to our city, making things happen here for Jesus, being Jesus' hands and feet in Lakeland, allowing the Holy Spirit to whisper the answers in our ears so that we can take them out to our city with power, with fire, and witness to this city. And then in September, we have the 14th through 18th, the archaeology meetings that will be happening. They will be discussing how archaeology goes with the Bible, how it tells how the Bible is corroborated by what we're finding. These things are out there to help people see God is true. And then, starting at the end of September, we will be doing our evangelistic series. But brothers and sisters, the evangelism starts now. If we wait for those meetings, nothing will happen. We've got to be today taking advantage of Jesus' promise, remembering who we are as Seventh-day Adventists, going back to our roots as God's people with a message for this dying world. And so we have a lot of things planned, a lot of things going on. We want to go out and have commando raids on our neighborhoods. Yeah, that's kind of in the news now, isn't it? But it's not that kind. Instead, this is a commando raid of kindness. We're going to have teams that will go out. Somebody will knock on the door and say, hey, can we come back next week? And then we'll descend on their house. We're going to be out there in the park. We're going to be handing out Bibles. All right, here goes. Are you ready? We're going to have Leroy Green come back in June and help us establish our Bible work around here so that we can have people that we're studying the Bible with. Are you ready to study the Bible with people? Because he's going to have people ready for you. Are you going to be ready? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Getting out, meeting people, helping them with their house, with their Bible studies, with their Bibles, with their prayers, and with their diseases. That's what we're about. That's what this power is necessary for. Because brothers and sisters, it's not our work. It's God's work. And he's invited us graciously to participate in his work of inviting others, as we heard, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's beautiful. And he's going to give us the power to do it. You don't have time? He's got the time. You don't know what to say? He's got the words. You don't know what to do? He knows what to do. All you need to do is be willing. And God will send you as he did these disciples. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? How's your book been? Isn't it good? This is our last lesson in the book about revive us again. And if you have your book with you, you can open up to the very last page. The very last page in the book. Things that you can do to share God's last day message. Things you can do. And he gives you a list, three things right there at the end of the book. Ask God to impress you with somebody to share his love with. That's what we're talking about. A neighbor, a friend. Yes, people in this congregation. But reach out to Lakeland. Reach out. Can you imagine where you would be sitting at this moment? In fact, you probably wouldn't be sitting at this moment. You might not even exist. But imagine what would have happened if the 120 had just stayed in the upper room congratulating one another on having been selected as God's people. Or sitting there telling each other how best to serve God, but staying in that upper room. Even if what they said was right. Or what if they had all just sat up there and said, great, we're Jesus' followers. He's coming again soon. We'll just hang out here. We're ready, so we'll just hang out here and wait. Can you imagine any of those scenarios? Can you imagine, in fact, any excuse for them to have stayed in that room? Any? Any at all? Jesus sends us out, brothers and sisters. That's our work. Ask God to impress you with someone to share His love with. Number two, as the Holy Spirit impresses you, share a piece of literature or book with this person. Share your life with them. Share your life with them. And number three, at the appropriate time, invite them to study the Bible with you or join a small Bible study group. We hope to have some small group studies going on, small groups of all different kinds happening, small groups based on loving others and showing them the love of Jesus and helping them to know who this is that loves them so much. What promises we have, huh? Can this fail? Can God fail at His promises to us? Not a chance. On the back of your bulletin today, check out the quote there. The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as His representative. Are you with me? It is not because of any restriction on the part of God that the riches of His grace, the what? Riches of His grace. He has so much for us. The riches of His grace do not flow earthward to men. If the fulfillment of the promise is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If, how many? All. If all were willing, how many? All would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this promise is for us, and it's an awesome promise. We need to get out of the upper room and go to the world. So I'd like to invite you this week to put the very last page of Revive Us Again to work in your life, to reach out to someone around you, to make a difference. That is our work for this week. To reach out, to show the love of Jesus, and to extend that promise. Maybe you don't have all the answers. That's okay. God will whisper in your ear too. Praise the Lord.